This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Yes. We, if we are really doing any good for ourselves and others as religious representatives of a religion or of the great religion, Islam, which is related to also the religion we call Christianity and the religion of the Jews called Judaism, related directly to what they received from their prophets. Peace be on them. I say directly because we also related indirectly, that is, Scripture does not address the connection, but we see the connection. We are not stupid. We see a clear connection for our religion also with all the great religions on this earth. All of the great religions on this earth. I was reading something today from a publication published by Buddhists. You know, Japanese people, most of them, their religion is Buddhism. They're Buddhist. And they identify with the great spiritual leader and thinker, Buddha. And I was reading, yes, and I was reading what they had as four main points for focusing. And the most important of their points for focusing, don't write this down unless you want to be a Buddhist. I'm not giving you this to take to write this down. Unless you're a reporter. You're reporting? That's good. For the journal or whatever, that's good. Yes. So anyway, they had four points, and the fourth one was the one that they identified as the most important of all of them. And it said that they use a term, origination of all things. They said that in the origination of all things is an interdependency. Well, you know, science has an idea. It looks very much like that one. And they say everything is related. Nothing is existing alone by itself without being connected to something else and dependent upon something else, if nothing but for its existence in the universal field of gravity that holds all matter together, you know. So this interdependency, they bring it forward to the advanced life of mankind to tell us that we are interdependent. And this is the idea in Islam, the idea in Judaism, the idea in Christianity, the idea in Islam, is that God made this material reality, this material environment that we see and can't reach it all the time, can't reach it, but it's there in the heavens, in the skies, and on earth, all of this material world that we can see or perceive with our senses. Has a unity. It has a unity, and it's connected. We have metals on this earth that are also in the bodies above the earth that we see it, call them stars, and other small bodies, planets, and even smaller bodies that we call shooting stars and other things. They're all connected, and all have one reality. They belong to one material universe. One material universe. And God says that He has given you your needs, has supplied you with your needs from the skies, from both the skies and the earth. From both the skies and the earth. And there's much to be said about that, how man has advanced the industry, how man has been able to advance industry and science, because of him observing what happens in this material universe or in this great system that has all systems together that has all systems together, incorporates all systems of matter. Yes, by observation, they were able to advance their sciences. They were able to, discover. What does discover mean? You know, that's a big word for some of you all. But it's a small world for some others. Small word, pardon me, for some others. Discover. You know, if you saw lightning hit the wood, the forest, and you went behind the fire after the trees had burned, and you went behind the fire, and you dug a little place there, you're getting ready to maybe barbecue, and you found some metal, some hard metal, which later on you named that metal, or somebody named it iron. So you discovered iron. Yes, you discovered iron. That's exactly what they say. That's exactly what they did. Oh, who discovered iron? Oh, if iron was first discovered, something, and then tell you when and tell you where and everything. But science now just points back to the time when primitive man was existing, and he found these metals after the fire had come. Big, huge forest fire had formed the ore, had made the ore, melted it, caused it to purify itself, to cleanse itself, hot fire and running metal, and they were able to find the steel or metal, and then use stones and whatever to cut it, and finally they learned that if they could build enough fire, they could make it soft again, and they would build fire and beat it into a sword or into a fighting tool or whatever. A fighting tool or a working tool, they would beat it into a tool. And all of that is given to us, and it's given to us in science, and we have a disposition because of, I guess it's just habit and tradition, just how education has carried us. We have an awe. We come and sit down and we look at the teacher, we're amazed. And he's so heavy. He's so brainy. He knows so much. And if you could boil all that stuff down, if you could go back and unravel it, you'd see that any fool could come by that route. And coming by that route, eventually that fool won't be a fool anymore. Fool will be wise. So God creation teaches everybody. God creation teaches everybody. Anybody got any knowledge, any civilization have achieved anything, it is because of God's creation. Without matter, without this universe, we cannot have anything. And we certainly can't have sciences. We can have foolishness. And you can't even have foolishness. You know, you need to perceive something of the world in order to even be a fool. Yeah, it takes a little knowledge to know how to be a fool. So, if any religion is worth anything, it is a religion that ties the human mind and heart to the great universe, this great existence of matter, stars in the sky, patterns of weather, beautiful things growing in the earth, the good and the bad, the storms, everything, the earthquakes. All of this brings man, especially when he lives in a community with one another. Living in a community causes man to want or need more from the environment. When he lives alone, he needs very little from the environment. But when he lives in big numbers, tribes, modern towns, cities, we live in big numbers, you need a lot from the environment. And all this has to be regulated in time, because you need government to regulate things and to protect you from your neighbor who might not be so nice, might be too greedy, might be too domineering. So you need laws. And in time, we have laws in every government and everything in time. And all of this is because of the great gift of the material existence. And whether you call it the Creator did it or whatever, whatever, is here. And we know we didn't do it. Man didn't do it. So that's where it starts. Genesis in the Bible starts with man being alone in this big creation that God made. And in the Quran, it's exactly the same. It's actually a commentary and a teaching and an additional teaching on what the Bible brought. And it starts with man existing in heaven. And he was not yet formed in the earth. And he was given the power by God to understand with his mind the nature of things made by God. God favored him with that superiority over all living things. No other living things have that superiority. And there was two types of living creatures that are related or similar to man. One called jinn, other one is called ins. Humans, ins, jinn and ins, and means those who live their humanity. They live the ins are those who live the best of their humanity. Their feelings, their emotions, their sentiments. They do not separate from those things. Some people separate from some, I shouldn't say some people, some occupations require that you separate yourself from those sensitivities, feelings, sentiments, etc., so that you can follow strictly material logic, material laws, material ruling, material logic. Yes, and there are some people who are not quite human. They look human. We would have called them human. But they are not. They are not ints, they're jinn. And they achieve a dominance, superiority over people, or dominance over people, by ignoring moral thought or moral feelings. Ignore it. They put it aside, are relegated to a position of little or no importance when you're achieving your object. So these jinn people are the people that gave birth to the devil, Satan, the shaitan, the real devil, shaitan. I say they gave birth to him. God never created a devil. God never made devil. God never created devil. God created ints and jinn, humans and jinn. And the jinn chose to be a devil because he was jealous of the position and the destiny that God chose for humans. He was jealous of it, so he became rebellious. He rebelled, and when he rebelled, he continued to go more and more against God's rule, against God's way. And he went so far as to become the enemy of all human beings, the enemy of mankind. This is our religion. This is Islam. But I can show you the same in the Bible. He becomes the enemy of all human beings. And he gets the name Shaitan. And it's nothing but the same word, Satan. For the Jewish people, the S-H is S. For the Muslim people, the S in Judaism is SH. Yeah. Yes. So he becomes Shaitan or Satan. Satan. The Jews would say Satan, but they don't believe in a Satan. I don't know of any Jews who believe in a Satan. There might be some, but I don't know of any. If they are, they are different Jews, Reformed Jews or something. Jews that differed with their old teachings, that didn't stick with their old teachings, their old Orthodox, the Orthodox way. They left Orthodoxy. And they believe that the figure that we call Shaitan, and the Christians call Satan, they believe that this figure is an agent of God, and that this figure is serving God. They call him by different names, the whip and other names. I chose to use the whip because the role of Satan, of this particular figure in their religion, is to whip us back into obedience when we can't be controlled. To whip us back into obedience. And the whip that they use, the Quran says, they use the flesh of the life to whip them. Now, I don't think it means flesh. They don't take a piece of flesh and whip. It means the nature of the flesh. They use the nature and power of the flesh to whip you. Drugs is a whipping. Liquor is a whipping. Allah says, anything that drugs your mind, stay away from it, for it is the works of the Satan. Stay away from it if you expect to be successful. This is what our holy book says. Say, stay away from such that befogs your mind or drugs your mind. And stay away from gambling. And stay away from games of superstition. For these are the works of the Satan. Stay away from them if you expect to be successful. That's the teachings of God, God's word in our holy book that came to Muhammad the Prophet over 1420 some years ago, and exists in the form of the last revealed book, the sacred book called the Quran by Christians, Quran, in Arabic, Quran, this book. So these are things that have been mysteries up until now, cannot be mysteries anymore. Time out for these mysteries. The world used to have masses that were too ignorant, too uneducated, too primitive to trust such knowledge with. If you can handle computer science, if you can handle living in New York, Chicago, and these other big cities, you shouldn't be kept in kindergarten, preschool, as a follower of religion. As a follower of religion. And it's a sin for a civilized world to keep their religions uncivilized. And it's uncivilized to believe some of the popular things that we believe in religion. It's just outright uncivilized. It's primitive and savage. And the day has come and we can't afford to cover those things anymore. We have to show the truth and respect the adult minds of the public. So going back to creation, every new baby coming into the world, every new baby coming into the world knows something. Science will state it in scientific language. I'm not giving you scientific language. I'm giving you plain talk. Every baby coming into the world comes into the world knowing something. How to ask for help. The baby knows how to ask for help. How to feed on food. The baby knows. The mother gives the baby milk. The baby knows how to swallow it. The mother doesn't have to say, let me teach this baby how to open his mouth and swallow my milk. The baby comes here knowing that. How to accept and how to reject people even. The baby comes here knowing that. One person will touch the baby and the baby will smile, or the baby will just accept it. Another person touches the baby and not a bad person, but just another person touches the baby, recognizes there's something here. I'm not interested in having close contact with this person. Baby start crying. So babies come here knowing something, standing upon its feet and walking after crawling. The baby accomplishes that. Such ability is born with the baby. It's in the baby when the baby is born. We say we taught the baby. You'll never say you taught a baby how to stand up. You encourage the baby to stand up. You don't teach a baby how to stand up. Standing up is the feet of the baby. The baby sees you standing, and the baby notices that. After so long, it feels it can try it. The baby will pull up on something and let it go slowly. And see, I've seen them stand and be trembling a little bit and grab it again. But after a while, that baby is standing and walking. Yes. I wish we could do that as a people. And if you watched little babies when they attempted that first time to stand up, I mean, it's exciting. And for that child, I think it's the first of the great accomplishments for the child's spirit. Or after that baby can stand and hold it and take a few steps and not fall, you see on the baby the look of achievement, the look of a great achievement. And that feeds that baby's faith in itself from then on. Allahu Akbar, yes, God is greater. That's what that means. Allahu Akbar, God is greater. The Christians say that a lot. In fact, they were saying it so much on the radio once. God is greater. God. I just couldn't turn the radio. I just couldn't walk away from the radio. In fact, many times I listen to Christian programs and other religious programs, and I can't turn away from it because I identify with what they be talking about, what they be feeling good about. So day one, if you could imagine it, the day that the first person was on earth. Holy Scripture, or sacred Scripture, we're talking about Judaism, mainly the related religions that we are related to, the religions that we are related to, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These scriptures have the idea of first man in it, and all of them call that man Adam. And our holy book did not change the pronunciation of the name. Adam, same, Adam. Imagine being in that time and being that person, Adam. Also imagine feeling hungry. Now you're a big boy. You ain't crawling. You're not learning how to stand up. You've been walking around. But you're alone. Nobody else, just you. You're a big boy now. Now, what would you do? The world is there, all around you. And there is water, pure waters, nice waters, but you have to go walk a little bit to find them. There are trees with fruit and animals everywhere, all kinds of animals. Now what would you do? Would you wait on a welfare check? One can't come because that time hasn't arrived. people are very much like this boy. I'm talking about a people like us. Free people. Free in America. With opportunities everywhere. Some of us are growing up, but the people's spirit is down. Down like a baby. Crawling over the ground. The people are being carried about by others as a community, having community needs. Grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, whatever. The people are being carried by others like a baby in a mother's arms. The idea of a single person alone in this great big earth, fruitful earth, productive earth, teaches us to listen to the better voice inside my body. But we have powerful things pulling our attention in all kinds of directions except the profitable and productive direction. Foolishness. Fun for the sake of fun. Ignorance. Self-destruction. Dancing ourselves into the mental hospital. Putting our attention on sex so much that our brains can't produce for us so we can be achieved people in the world. Just too much sex. The condition is so disappointing and hard to deal with that our professional people, our achievers, they go their own separate route. Usually move even out of the neighborhood. Move near non-blacks or in a neighborhood with non-blacks. Is get away from the burden. That's not the right thing to do, but they do it. Malcolm X, may his soul be at rest, he used to criticize the African-American leaders in New York where he lived. He said, you say you represent the people, but you live in the man's neighborhood, not in this neighborhood. Well, I admired Malcolm for most of what he said and did, but I never really agreed with him all the time. Sometimes I disagreed with him. And I wouldn't have made those persons feel uncomfortable to get their following over to the Nation of Islam. I wouldn't have done that. Because right away, but I see our people's condition and how hard you have to struggle to keep your sanity and your human decency living in some of these neighborhoods. I wouldn't bother. I just keep quiet. I wouldn't whisper that they weren't living in the neighborhood. Just keep quiet. Yes, so we are created to have born senses, born behavior. And then we are created to have the intelligence or born senses to make certain decisions. In our religion, also in the religion of the people of the book, we are told that though the human being is distinct in his own creation and nature, he's a unique creation, not another one like him. But if he goes to sleep or loses his orientation, his pattern of behavior in his own life and nature, he can be influenced by things living and dead to come out of his own behavioral nature. And he can fall lower than the animals that God made beneath him. He can fall lower than them in his thinking and in his behavior. If he separates from the social pattern that God created him to evolve upon, the human social pattern. Yes, so we have born behavior and we have learned behavior. God created us with the mind to think, eyes to see and question. Your eyes don't just see, your eyes also question. Yes. And your eyes make decisions. Yes. Your eyes as a ability to see is also the ability to be discriminate, to choose the better sight from the worst sight, to choose the more beautiful, appealing thing from the ugly, offensive thing, to choose the decent smelling thing from the vulgar smelling thing. Except.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.